All good? All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. On today's show, I'm delighted to be speaking with Dr. Frank Buck, who is a former teacher and school administrator, now turned author and speaker in organizational and time management. Dr. Frank Buck, thank you so much for coming on the Get Out of Teaching podcast today.
All right, Elizabeth, what a pleasure to be here with you and your listening audience.
And I'm so thrilled to be talking to you, and I just love your accent. Whereabouts are you from?
I'm in the United States. I'm from Alabama, so it's the Deep South, and I love your accent as well. very, very beautiful. And I guess we're each very accustomed to the ones that we hear around us, but so beautiful to hear yours.
All right. So tell us, Frank, what got you into teaching in the first place?
Okay. Well, in junior high, I started in band, did very well with that, was very interested in band. So I decided that I wanted to be a band director. And part of that decision was, as I was looking around, there were a lot of very young band directors who were experiencing a lot of success. And so I saw it as, you know, if you're willing to work hard, this is something where you don't have to wait till you're 40 or 45, 50 to be successful. If you know what you're doing, you're very interested, you're willing to work hard, you can have success fairly quickly. And I was right. Success did come very quickly. And as a superintendent once said, you know, one of the things about teaching is if something doesn't go well this year, you get to start again next year. You get another chance at it.
So true.
But it's a it is very true, but it's a double-edged sword. Because what if things do go well? You have to start all over again. That bumper crop of beginning band students, it was, I mean, just, oh gosh, so good. Well, then next year, they don't know, you know, you got a whole new group that doesn't know the top of the case from the bottom of the case. And so it's starting again year after year. And if there's not something that is different year to year, it's tough. It's tough. And when you become a veteran teacher, you know, your pay is really not that much different from the one right out of college. And the working conditions aren't really different from the one right out of college. It's like you're on the same plane. That's great when you're 22, that you're on the same plane as that 44-year-old. But when you're now the 44-year-old and you're on the same plane as the 22-year-old, very different. Very different.
Yeah, I think everyone listening will totally resonate with what you're saying. And I know, like when I started, I think I was on, I'm going to pull a number out, and I think I was on 63,000 a year when I started teaching. And about 2 years later, our union negotiated a new deal so that the graduates were starting on 67. So then I had a colleague who was, had only just started teaching, who was earning more money than I was, and because I was in a different bracket by then, and oh man, it was so frustrating. So yeah, I totally understand that sentiment of, you know, you're really not treated any differently, and you're there for decades maybe without really seeing the growth or the benefit of being a bit older and a bit more experienced. Okay, so then I'm hearing from you that there was this cyclical nature of the work. What was the actual tipping point for making you decide to get out of teaching then?
Well, and let me answer that in two ways. One, as far as getting out of classroom teaching, and second, leaving education. I had been a middle school band director for 8 years. Things were really going well, but I felt like I was hitting a glass ceiling, that things were as good as they were going to get, you know, and you're working hard. And looking into the future, could I see 20 plus more years of working just as hard every year? Because you don't want the program to slide back. You got to keep it as good as it is and try to push it forward a little bit. And I just did not see a path that would continue to get better and better. So I became interested in getting into school administration. So four more years of teaching. After 12 years, I was offered an assistant principalship and loved school administration because there was a real ladder. You know, you're an assistant principal, then I became a principal and then a central office administrator and could have stayed in the profession and become a superintendent. So there were those stair steps or chairs that you could go through, so to speak. But then let's talk about leaving education altogether for something else. When I was an assistant principal, I started working on my doctorate, and my dissertation topic was in time management. It was a study of time management in the principalship in the state where I lived. And so that was really the beginning of what I'm doing now. During the process of doing all that research, what I was finding was there was so much written about time management as it pertained to the business world, but so little as it pertained to education. So I thought, let me come at this from a little different angle. I put together a little workshop for educators on time management, really directed toward time management for educators. And little by little, that workshop grew and grew. And then over time, I had the opportunity to write a book. And
hang on, I'm going to just take you back in time just for a moment. So
absolutely,
how old were you then, if you don't mind me asking, when you were doing your PhD?
Okay, I became an assistant principal, I think, when I was 32, I want to say.
Okay.
And then a year later, started work on the doctorate. I finished the doctorate at age 37 and then got a principalship at that same time. So got the doctorate in hand, principalship at hand at age 37. I'm now starting to do those time management workshops with great regularity and invited.
I'm going to stop you again. How did you do
sure,
that?
Yeah.
It sounds like this is a really busy life you've got. You're writing your PhD. You're a principal of a school, or you're an assistant principal at that stage. How did you find the time to do all these things? How did you make that work? And was it a private thing that you were delivering these workshops? Were you getting paid for that, or was that part of working for the district?
Not paid as far as being working for the district, but there were what we called in our state regional in-service centers, professional development organizations, and they would offer workshops during the summer, and they needed people to conduct the workshops. Now, you didn't get paid a whole lot, but it provided a place, a place to hold it that I wasn't having to pay for. They helped publicize it. And so that was a good starting point. And those things went well. Word started to get out that, hey, this is real nuts and bolts. This is worth your time. And so by word of mouth, things started to get out. And then as I applied for national conferences, those things went well. People would hear me at a national conference, go back home and say, hey, we need speakers for various things. This Frank Buck guy that I heard speak, we ought to get him. Or people that read the book when it first came out. Gosh, we need to get this guy to come to our school district and help us. So there came a point where I felt like I'm old enough now to retire from education and draw a full retirement, all the benefits, but still young enough. I was 50, still young enough to give a second career a chance to flourish. So at age 50, with almost 30 years in public education, I retired to get out of education, kind of air quotes there, because much of the work that I continue to do as far as who I was speaking to and who I was working with were educators who were trying to get organized and trying to get their email inboxes empty and all of the things that that I was teaching during the time I was a principal and central office administrator.
And Frank, what's the name of your book?
Well, I've got a couple out there. Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders. And then in January, We released Get Organized Digitally, the Educator's Guide to Time Management. So both of them written with educators in mind. So when you read those, you're reading stories of principals and teachers and so forth. But I tell people, hey, if you're not in education, it's okay if you're a lawyer or a doctor. You're going to be reading stories about teachers or principals and how they were dealing with email and how they were dealing with overwhelm and too much to do and so forth and so on. But what works for them is also going to work for you. So whereas once upon a time, educators were having to read time management books written for the business world, now the business people could read a time management book that was written for educators. Turnabout's fair play.
Fair enough. And just for the listeners, I will put the link to Dr. Frank's books in the show notes for this episode so that people can get access to those books as well.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So I imagine that, I guess you had a backup at the time when you retired, retired from the formal classroom teaching because you had your pension. Was there any fear around shifting? I mean, it must have been a life that you knew quite well and were comfortable in, but then to go into business on your own, that's a whole other ball game, right? How did you feel about doing that?
Very different ball game. You know, you were going from the things that you knew after so many years of learning a little and a little and a little all about education. Now we're out there with, what are the tax implications? What do I need to know about tax laws? What do I need to know about incorporation? What do I need to know about marketing? You know, it used to be, you know, the kids showed up at the door. You didn't have to market. But how am I going to let people know about the workshops that I do on a larger scale? So that was very, you know, very different.
So can you give us a little bit of insight into how you actually did that? Because this whole season is around how to set up in business, if that's what you're, as part of your exit strategy out of teaching. How did you actually, what were your first steps that you took?
Okay. One of the biggest things that I would say to anyone who's thinking about going down this route is get started while you're still in teaching. Now, of course, that means taking something where you're already fairly busy and adding more to it. Figure out what it is that you can offer the world. What is your niche going to be? And then get started in fairly low-key ways. Is there a civic organization that you could speak to? Are there church groups that you could speak to about your little specialty where you can kind of see the reaction, see if there's a need for it, get feedback from people? And when you start hearing them say, gosh, this is so good, you could do this full time. When you start hearing that sort of thing, that's your cue that maybe you want to start, you know, to make your exit. And here's one thing that I found. You know, I talked about speaking at the national conferences. When I was sending in my application to present as Dr. Frank Buck, principal at Graham Elementary School, or Dr. Frank Buck, curriculum coordinator, Talladega City Schools, I was getting accepted to speak. I think there was one time I was turned down. One time. Everything else was, yes, certainly. And even I was getting invited to be in the pre-conference sessions that people have to pay big bucks to come to. Now, once I retired and I wasn't an active principal, once I was Frank Buck consultant, then I would get accepted about half as many times.
Right. Okay. So there was some authority that you had as a principal that they didn't see you left.
Sort of went, you know, it went from he's one of us, you know, he's a principal just like we are, to, he's a consultant. It's probably going to be a selling job.
Gotcha.
Let me ask, do you hear my dog barking?
No, I can't hear the dog
No.
barking.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's that little crisp program that's taking that out, because he's right outside this door just barking his head
Oh,
off. So
I've got
maybe we
birds warbling in my background too, so don't worry. It's a very
Yeah, so
natural
maybe we
environment here on
get
the
a
Get
little
Out of
fart
Teaching
out about
podcast.
me asking that. Yeah, so the point being, really try to get that thing started before you make the leap, before you make the move.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that once you leave, it's much harder to break into that world. But if you've already got a reputation in that world, if that's where you want to be working, so if you were,
Yes.
so obviously you, so have you stayed in that education space, or are you working outside of that now?
I have so much of what I do is still speaking at education conferences and going in to school systems to work with administrators, to work with teachers, although that has expanded where I'm doing probably as much as the business world as I am in education.
Okay, so what would you say were the transferable skills that you brought to your new role?
Well, first of all, simply being organized. As a band director, so much of my success was that I knew how to plan and set up the program and sort of have a step one, two, three, so that really every student developed into a good musician. And then later, as a principal, just setting up good practices, good procedures where things ran smoothly. And so that was one of the things I was able to then take into the next phase. And when you're the only person running your company, there are so many things and you're doing them all. So the ability to set up repeating task, that here are the things that I'm going to be doing not just once, but let me put this kind of into a sequence. And things like repurposing content. I started a blog back in 2004, and I still do that every week. I write a fresh piece of content and it's a blog post, but it's also a podcast, it's also a YouTube video, it's also a newspaper article for two local newspapers. And I can actually bring that back again, maybe several years down the road. If it's evergreen content, I can pull that video back out again, or I can revamp the newspaper column a little bit so that you're not sitting down with just a blank screen going, oh gosh, I'm under the gun to write something.
Yeah, I love that. It's really clever. And I mean, I guess we've got similar experiences. I'm, doing this podcast and all those things, but I don't think I'm quite as organized as you. So obviously that PhD really paid off.
It did, and that was another thing. Anybody who's going that route, I decided on the dissertation topic very early, so that because every class you take, you're going to have to write a paper. So I figured out some way to each little paper I had to write for each class, find some way to tie it back to time management so that every paper was really feeding the dissertation. So it made the process so much easier.
Great. And also, I imagine then that you had all your blog posts there as well. Like you could use some of that content for your blog posts.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So, what training or extra information or skills did you need to develop as you were making this change at age 50 into something new?
Well, one thing that if I had to do it all over again, that I would do is that network of people. Whatever you're trying to do, there are other people who have done that same thing and they've left tracks. So talking to other people who are solopreneurs, that how do you go about incorporating yourself? What are the steps and what's the benefits of being an S corp over an LLC versus a sole proprietorship, all that good stuff. And what I found is when you ask other people for help, they're delighted to help you. And it makes you're not having to reinvent the wheel. as teachers, we probably don't realize the kind of network that we have built. You know, once the kids that you taught have graduated and now they're in all these different professions, any profession you can name, you've got former students who are doing that, or the parents of those students are doing that. And a lot of those parents like you and would be delighted to help you break into that new role. So, you know, it's things that are, it's different. It's not harder. It's just different. And that person who has been a teacher, you've got people skills because you have been dealing with so many different kinds of personalities. You've been working with parents, some of them who are a little bit on the difficult side. On a daily basis, you've been getting up in front of groups of students and being interesting and inspiring and engaging them. Well, those are the same things that you need if you're going to be a speaker or you're going to be a consultant, having those people skills. I really think a teacher, a former teacher, is the perfect person for so many other things.
I love that. And I'd never even thought to tap into my students. So I only had a short career. I started in 2006. But I know that I had prep, which is the first year of school here in Victoria. I had 180 prep students and I was teaching art and I had them for 100 minutes nonstop. And then just one after the other, like Groundhog Day it was. I 8 grades of prep over 3 days. So it was pretty intense. And, you know, they're only little, so they can't really do a lot for themselves. And it was a steep learning curve, let me tell you. I have 5 kids of my own and I had no idea what I was doing when I had 180. But yeah, just interesting that now those kids are actually, they're out of high school now. So they've just graduated in the last few years. And so now I guess I've got this whole network, as you say, that I can tap into. Every now and again, I see someone at the supermarket and they look at me and go, I think I know you from somewhere. I'm like, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, absolutely. So did you ever feel like this wouldn't work, that you were going to fail at this new venture?
I really didn't. Now, am I getting rich? No. But things have been steady and opportunities come along. For example, you know, when the pandemic hit, well, that put a halt to in-person presenting anywhere. But at the same time, it opened doors to presenting virtually. Mm. And for you know, guest podcasts, things like this. And now pretty much everybody knows Zoom. You know, any grandmom knows how to get on a Zoom meeting. So it's opened up all kinds of other things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you also realize that things take time. So for those who are leaving teaching and, you know, you start a YouTube channel and you're not getting the views that you think you should be getting or the subscribers, mm-hmm. You start a blog and you're not getting the viewership. It takes time for your name to start getting out there and for, say, YouTube to pick you up in their algorithm. Because, you know, you do something, you say, gosh, mine is a whole lot better than this other person that got 100,000 views on their video. What's the deal here? But when you see what their first videos were like and how few subscribers they had at the beginning, then it's so much of it is just staying with it and not giving up.
Mm-hmm. I love that advice. And, you know, I think back to when I started and I started the Facebook group and that actually grew quite quickly at the beginning. And then it sort of leveled out and I'm like, oh no, what am I doing wrong? You know, I didn't know. Yeah. And now it's, you know, almost 20,000 people in there. And I'm just blown away by that. Like, I can't imagine. I would never have imagined it would get that big. And now I've got a newsletter and the podcast and, you know, all these other things that are kind of like revolving around that group. So what advice, Frank, would you give to someone who's just feeling stuck or they'd like to get out of teaching into something new, but they just don't really know where to begin?
Develop that network of people. Just going back to all of the people that you know, and all of the people that they know, because somebody you know is going to be able to introduce you to that somebody else that's going to be able to give you a leg up. Don't try to do it all yourself, because the people who have really been successful, that's not what they're doing. They've got that network of people around them. Also, when you're stuck, and when you're able to sit down with that somebody else and tell them what you're feeling, and when you have to put it in words, and you hear the sound of your voice coming back to you, sometimes that in itself helps to clarify things, helps to give you a path forward where maybe it turns out that the being stuck was temporary. And you find passion all over again, and you stay in teaching. Or perhaps, no, leaving education is really the thing for you. But now you see a clearer path, and you see a path going to something. I'll never forget the day that a young teacher walked in my office, very upset, and a parent had just threatened to file a lawsuit. This was a special education teacher. Parent had threatened to file a lawsuit, and the teacher's question for me was, is the best thing for me to just quit, just to get out? And if I do, would that parent still be able to come after me? And I said, well, actually, yes. So leaving education, that would not remove you from the legal liability. But I said, someday you will leave. Someday I'll leave. Someday we'll all leave. But when you do leave, make sure it's because you're leaving to go to something rather than leaving to get away from something. And you could tell that that was sinking in. Well, she stayed. She was working on her administrative certification. And then several years later, she was offered a position as a central office administrator in a neighboring district, which she took the position. And she said to me, Dr. Buck, this is what you're talking about when you said leave to go to something, isn't it? And I said, absolutely. And so, whether it's a job with a different school, maybe it's another job in education, or maybe it's a job outside of education, be sure it's something you're going to. Otherwise, it might be getting away from something that you no longer love and jumping into something that you'll very shortly not love either.
And I love what you've said about the connections and the network that you create for yourself. There's I think it's Adam Grant who talks about weak ties, and he says you should, if you're going to get a new job, for instance, and that's really the main thing that he's talking about, you're much better off trying to get someone who's like the next layer out in your network. So not your immediate friends, because they're all just like you, but their
Yes.
partner or their friends are in a different network. And also, when you do apply for a job, if they recommend you, they've got less to lose than your immediate friend. So if my immediate friend recommends me for a job and I turn out to be a bit of a dud, it's embarrassing for them. But if it's like a, distanced from me, the person who recommends me, and I turn out to be a dud, they just go, oh, sorry, I thought they were going to be okay, but it turns out I was wrong. And they don't lose face socially. So they've actually got less to lose if it's your, rather than your teacher buddy, but maybe their husband or wife or their friend has less to lose if they recommend you for a position. So that's just something to consider. It's an interesting social phenomenon, I think, that the weak ties are actually a better network for you than your immediate friends.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, so if someone wanted to use your service, what does that look like? What do you actually offer now, and how would they get in touch with you?
Okay. Well, and as I tell people when I'm speaking at a conference, it's, if I haven't been to your school system, it's for one reason. Nobody's asked me. So the best contact for me, come to my website, frankbuck.com. ORG, frankbuck.org. And for everyone, take, first of all, take the easy route. When you get there, hop on my mailing list, because I'm going to send you two free gifts right off the bat. One of them's going to get your desk clean now and forevermore. And then a few days later, the second one is going to show you how to put everything you have to do in one nice, neat digital place. And that's all for free. Plus, being on my mailing list every week, you'll hear from me with, you know, where I have new content, where I might have been a guest on a podcast like this, and other things that I'm reading that I think other people would be interested in. You'll get information on the books that I have written. And then if you want to go a step deeper, if you're thinking, okay, Frank, I've read your book, but I feel like if I could have some Zoom meetings with you, it would just take me to the next level. You'll see on the website, I do one-on-one coaching. You'll also see a contact page where if you do have a conference, and I'm in the United States, but I have spoken as far away as I have been to Australia to speak before, literally halfway around the world. I will certainly be glad to do that. And it's more affordable than you think it would be. And everything I do is nuts and bolts. You're not going to hear me say now, time is your most valuable resource. We need to be better managers over time. We know that. It's tell me how. What are the simple tools I can set up and the simple practices that will help me? And so much of it is so easy. People come away going, why didn't I think of that before? You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Frank, just before we wrap up our discussion today, what's the legacy that you want to leave in the world?
Life doesn't have to be as hard as we sometimes make it. We live in a very complex world now, but there are tools and there are practices that'll make this whole thing go easier. And if today was my last day on planet Earth, I do leave with the knowledge that there are books out there and over 1,600 blogs that I've written that are going to remain, and people can stay in contact with my work, even though I'm not here to deliver it in person.
I love that. So you've got books, you've got blog posts, you've got all this content that you've created that is still going to be able to help people as they move through life and as they plan their next steps as well. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. So is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't ask you?
Gosh, we have covered so much, Grant. I really like the questions. I really can't think of anything else, but if I have missed something, and I'm really good about email. So anybody out there, you've got a question, and several people ask the same question, I'm going to turn around and do a YouTube video about it. You know, so plenty of opportunity for people to stay in contact and take this conversation further.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Frank Buck, thank you so much for coming on the Get Out of Teaching podcast today.
But it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.